like to start not in 1982, but in 1984, because in March of that year, I was moved at fairly short notice to become head of the division inside the Ministry of Defence that dealt with naval operations. And the first thing that was on my desk when I got there was the letter that Tandiel has already mentioned this morning from the Shadow Cabinet questioning the Prime Minister about the accuracy of the accounts that had been given of the sinking of the Belgrano. Interestingly, I was asked by John Stanley, the Minister of State under Michael Heseltine, to prepare two answers for the Prime Minister to send. One of them would tell the truth of what had happened, and the second would tell the government story that they'd been telling for the previous 2 years. When these papers arrived with Michael Heseltine, he decided that he was in political trouble and that I should be asked to write a full account of what took place in 1982 based on all the available documentation. This was the study that's become known as the Crown Jewels, because it does contain a complete account, as far as we were able to deduce it, of everything that took place in April and May 1982, except, interestingly, one very important omission. And although I had complete access to documents within the Ministry of Defence, including the top secret intelligence reports, the one set of documents that I was refused access to were the Foreign Office telegrams from Washington and Lima over the weekend of the 1st and 2nd of May. I was only allowed to see two of those telegrams, which have subsequently become fairly well known. The telegrams from Washington and Lima announcing the Peruvian peace plan, both timed after the sinking of the Belgrano. And the Foreign Office refused to allow me access to any other telegrams if, as they said, they existed. Before I go on to sort of try and describe what was in the Crown Jewels and the way it affects the way the war was run, I think it's important to try and understand how the Ministry of Defence works, because without that, I don't think you can see any of the problems that were faced and the sort of decisions that were being taken. The Ministry of Defence isn't a unified ministry. It's split up into three separate service departments. And they are, of course, rivals of each other. They're not all working for exactly the same end. They're competing for money and resources most of the time, but also for prestige and position. And it's the job of ministers to attempt to set the policy between the three services. Now, in 1982, John Knott was still Secretary of State, but was in great disfavour with the Royal Navy, because the year before he presided over a defence review that had virtually, in the Navy's view, seen the end of Britain as an ocean-going navy. The main aircraft carrier Invincible was to be sold to the Australians, all the major landing craft, the amphibious capability, were to be scrapped, the number of frigates and warships were to be severely reduced. Now, the Navy never accepted this policy, they were forced to go along with it, and all the time were attempting to get it reversed. I think the important point is that about April, May 1982 was the time at which final decisions would be taken, that the ships would actually be sold or sent off to the breakers' yard. And the other important point is, I think, the depth of the government's unpopularity early in 1982 and their extremely difficult political situation. Looking, I think, desperately for an issue that would restore their popularity. Now,